Trustee Tolkien?
Here.
Trustee Dart?
Here.
Trustee Gass?
Here.
Trustee Zeller?
Here.
Trustee Green?
Here.
Trustee Gimlich is going to be delayed. Trustee Vandenhoven is here. Are there any modifications to the agenda? I'm going to propose that we move items 3 and 4 until later in the evening. After Trustee Gingrich gets here, we can't, by ordinance, vote on reconsideration unless all members at the original vote are present.
A second.
So that's going to be one modification to the agenda. Are there others?
When you say later, what do you mean by that?
Trustee Gingrich is going to be here by between 6 and 6:30.
So it'd be before 11.
If for some reason he can't come at all, though, you should know that it will automatically be postponed until the next meeting, which will be another budget meeting, and then we'll have to decide what to do with that agenda if he's not noticed as having those items on. So I'll move, seconded by Trustee Zeller, to make that one modification to the agenda, all other things being equal. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 5, review. I doubt if we'll approve, but review of the 2014 budget.
Tracy, you have two pens. Can you have that?
Absolutely. And there are some pages that needed to be replaced, so if anyone wants to take one, pass it around and replace their pages.
I had asked about that column with the percent change. You had some trouble at getting it to do that?
I just pretty much ran out of time, I guess, to make a lot of formatting revisions. So I left it as it was. We really were pretty pressed for time getting the books together, hence the revision pages going around right now. But as long as they're still in the gold pages, I have it on a list. Have a bunch of stuff to do for next year.
Yeah, those pages, you guys, are just replacements of ones that you have in there, so you just page back.
They're replacements?
They're replacements,
yeah. Yep. There are some changes that came up.
First ones, I think, are in the code enforcement, so we're under code.
So the ones you take out, Terry, do some things that.
Am I looking at something wrong? But I didn't have those in my book.
14 and 15, pages 14 and 15.
They keep going, right? They don't start over with every session, so keep going.
And then they go to 73. Going.
Oh, it's 14. Got it now, okay.
There's a particular process we have used traditionally, but Clara's new, and so she has ideas for improving the process. We definitely want to hear them, but do you want to hear if people have questions? In years past, we've had people try to submit the questions that they had before the actual first budget meeting. Have you gotten any questions from any of those board members?
No, I haven't, and I know at the back here there's a
sheet
form.
Do you want to start out with any, Trustee Zeller, with any questions right off the bat? Does that make sense?
I'm just wondering if we want to take Mark and Rick's sections right away, and if there's anything that specifically that we need to address with them present, so that they could.
Yeah, let's start out with. Does anyone have any questions about the budget overall, either on your pink sheet in the back or in general? And then we can start out with specifically going through their two budgets.
Replace 3, 4, but 5
is good? Yes. So there's just a few that are replaced in the budget. Is that cold?
So without getting into specific line items, are there any questions about the budget overall, about the where we ended up with the levy, with before we get into any specific budgets, and we'll take Rex and Mark first.
I don't know if you want Clara to go through, like, in the gold section, and you guys are still putting...
The budget summary section?
The gold summary, yeah. Maybe Clara can just touch on page 6.
That may clarify.
That may just give you an idea of, like, kind of where we're at right now. So keep that in the back of your head as you're going through it.
Five, seven, and nine are okay then?
Yeah.
This is the question, sir. Thank you.
Is the bottom line then on page 8?
Right, sir? Yeah, I guess for the property tax levy fund, that would be in the gold pages, page 6. So if you look, I guess all the way down at the bottom, adjusted tax rate in the red, you can see 2013 is 6.28 million. Right now, we're budgeted at 6.077 million. And the one concern I have with that is if when you fill out the levy limit worksheet, we start with our base. Last year, we took a little bit of our post 2005 debt service, but our base is really 6.092 million. So if we drop below that, it's a penalty. Every year after.
If we drop below what?
If we drop below 6.092 million, that's our base. If we go below that, then we're penalized every year after. So that's 14,500 that we need.
So we need 14,501?
Yes.
So you're telling us we have to spend more money so that we don't get
so
punished.
So we don't get penalized in the future.
So 6092 is the...
That shouldn't be that hard.
6,092,243.
Which is how much more to add back in?
14,571.
14,571. Yes. That's just so strange. We get penalized.
Yeah.
Laws and logic.
Is that a new thing?
No, that's...
I mean, we came up with a budget minus 3.25%, and now we're going to add... I mean, granted, that's a lot.
Well, we don't have to.
But you will be penalized every year in the future. You won't get that levy limit back.
Oh, yes. I do remember Julie telling us that.
Right.
Very
if
often.
We don't
so it's
limit,
not like we get a fine for it.
Right.
Yeah.
We're penalized in a way of...
You can never
we can't recoup that increment.
Yes, exactly.
Under the current laws.
Yes.
They could change.
I think it's been like that for a very long time, though. If you drop a level.
Well, I just think this is a fantastic start.
Mm-hmm.
I mean we're starting out with not adding, but right. Minus 3.245%.
Claire, maybe you can hit on that 203,340 number.
Where is it? 203. Okay, that number, I guess when I was talking to you earlier, I misspoke. That's the difference between last year's levy and this year's. Mm-hmm. So at first I was looking at that and thinking, oh my goodness, we need to make up 200,000. But last year we took a little bit of that capacity we had for the post-2005 debt service. Last year we had a capacity to take 392,000 and we took 188,000. So to get to what we need to levy this year, we take off that 188,000, and we can do that without a penalty going forward. So our base is that 6.092 million. So it's really
14,571
that we need to make up to not get penalized.
I just don't remember ever getting a budget where
we came in negative, and we only started positive. And then I had to try to whittle it back, but this one comes
in. I don't know, I had to.
And there were always extra projects in that supplemental. Mm-hmm.
Well, I do
have
supplemental, but
I'm
just not in there.
Have you got a list for us?
This is Brad's, I guess he can go over what he has, but.
Well, we have one from Debbie that's not a big amount that didn't get in. It's a piece of equipment that's a smaller amount that just didn't get in the budget. So there are a few things that, you know, to shift. There's also some maybe coming out with Mark's code enforcement. There might be a little bit coming out of that. So
well, we made some nice adjustments with healthcare. I mean, we made some pretty substantial adjustments. And this conversation, I went through the budget before all of you got it, and the conversation that I had with everyone, all the directors that I met with, and obviously Claire and Tracy, it feels like we're doing a really good job of trimming where we can with all kinds of adjustments, but it's not going to be long when there's just not going to be a lot of fat to trim. Yeah. And so what I'm looking for them to do, you know, even if we pass a responsible budget really soon, is that we have to start thinking about 1 or 2 years down the road when expenses are probably going to continue to go up and revenue is going to be flat at best, and we're not going to get any more shared revenue from the state than we are now. That might even go down substantially. We're going to have to figure about what we're going to do, because sort of nickel and diming and trimming a little from here and from there isn't going to work. And I don't have the answer to that. I don't think any of the board members really have an answer to that, not having a real intimate knowledge with the day-to-day workings of the budget. So we're really going to have some of those candid and probably difficult discussions and make some really big decisions in this upcoming year, even if we, again, pass a budget that we're all really comfortable with. Because you're right, Randy, this is a great budget, but I wouldn't expect that we can start out every year like this. Going forward, there's going to come a time when it's going to be really extremely difficult if we don't make some big decisions.
And even though we're retiring some debt, you know, we're incurring more with major projects, so debt service is going to increase.
That's right.
Because we still have huge infrastructure issues.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that's why I said expenses are not going to go down, and revenue is probably not going to go up much.
So, yeah, we're starting at a good point, and really the budgets don't have a ton of increases in them. I mean, there's bits and pieces here and there, but there's nothing, you know, really extreme. There's not a lot of capital, or, like, virtually no capital. The capital is either in capital, it's not in the general fund, you know, it's in the utilities, so that helps a lot with the budget this year, too. There's not capital items either. So I think it's just a combination of people just, you know, budgeting a little tighter and not a lot of capital type items or big projects out there.
We also have to remember that, you know, the cost of the utilities is going up, and that people are going to get hit on their rates for water and sewer. And it doesn't look like it's not going to get any better. Mm-hmm. I was at the budget meeting for the Met, and as you all know, that one customer pulling out accounted for about a 5% increase in the rate, and we thought we'd be around 8 or 9, and now it's around 13, and that's for the foreseeable future.
And there are potentially a couple of others that
might
be moving off to the packing plants to be huge.
So we have to balance all these things with, you know, making sure that we're thinking about the future when the revenue and expense lines start to cross, but also consider what our residents are going to be paying for the services that we provide for them, some of which are outside of our control.
Yeah. On the supplemental projects, is Brad coming tonight?
He will be here tonight, yeah. Okay. I told him to come over.
That Emerald Ash Borer, is that something that we need to
That's in the budget already. Didn't we start like $5,000 last year, $10,000?
I believe he put more this year. Yeah.
Pardon?
Yeah. I believe he put more this year.
He put more this year.
Kind of
so we've started, but you're right, Paul. If it actually hits, we're not going to even have a drop in the bucket to take care of that problem.
He's coming in right now.
Okay. And then as a possible project, we've got Mark's software to look at on Thursday.
No, that was today.
Yeah, we just did it.
Oh.
4:30 today.
Phew, okay. All right, my bad. So is it in or out?
It actually was a very good program. I was pretty impressed with how Mark could slice and dice it, wouldn't have to go back through and sit through even things coming forward to court. It would be much easier to pull occupant versus owner. Mark can put in both. So say we've got the same renter that's an issue, which we've had moving to multiple properties in the village, you can pull those. It is such a laborious process. So at least initially from what I've seen, I'm pretty impressed with it. So can he do the demo on the internet? Can anybody log into their demo software? Does that have to be with the gentleman we were talking to on the phone?
Yeah.
Okay. So for my 2 cents worth, I was pretty impressed, and it would take away the paper and the Excel, and you've got the price dropped to, because it had a whole lot of bells and whistles prior that we don't necessarily need, so...
initials about 1,700 years to 7,000. He had a whole bunch of bells and whistles on there. When I would talk back to him the second time, he started taking stuff off of there that he doesn't actually need.
So what is the price change from to?
The initial setup was 2,700, and the annual fee was 1,700. Initially, it was 7,000 setup and 4,000 something.
Oh.
Year.
That's an awfully big drop.
That's a huge drop.
He took a lot off.
He took, he went through some of what he took off tonight. It basically would be for internal use for elected officials, administration, enforcement. It's much more powerful to do many more things, but with that comes expense. But just
and we don't necessarily
so
like
it
either.
Trustees exactly. Being able to look the reporting thing, look have a web based. Way
yes.
Sort of looking at what, and that was taken off?
No.
You have a password.
Trustees, administrators.
So what was taken off?
A lot of the functionality with public getting in, let's see, they had information facilitation with, you could run your whole village off what it looked like he had, and we didn't need to do all of that. So what else did he take off? Because
he took the GIS off. He took
because we got that at Brown County.
Brown County, which was a big one.
Yeah.
Most of it was just internet connecting stuff. It just got down to basically what is needed here to put the court cases together, keep the track of everything. Yeah. When tells me when they need to go back up, look at something. Instead of pulling paperwork out every week, looking at what I need to follow up on, trying to keep track of that, it's in there. It just tells me when I need to go.
Okay.
We do an inspection. Those with Jim.
But we can get to that when we get to your budget. But I'd like to hear about that and about how you anticipate this would affect your productivity. Because I know you said you only can do if you did all day, you'd be able to process like an 18 or something or 20 of these things. I can't remember what you said, but
it's a lot.
Okay, good. Thanks,
Claire. Is there anything else overall that you want to talk to the board out before we get, maybe we'll have Rick's go to the police one first. So you're
no, ready. I don't think so. I think we can just get into it.
That's the police, if you want to jump to police. And Rick's here.
It's like Ashley's back time. I'm not ready to pick her up from school.
You watching TV?
I'm just in the habit. I'm having it all in my car and I'm like, let's get here. I'm like,
okay.
She might have to do one.
Maybe starting on the gold, stay at the gold, maybe page 3 has the public safety with it. That'll give you the summary. And overall for the police department, I'll let Rick get into more of the detail, but overall for the police department, the contract for Brown County went up 3%. This year, this is the last year of the contract, but we can extend 1 year into 2015 if we choose to, just like we have in the past. So you can see the overall police department budget has increased by 3%. So, and that's really covering, the officers' costs and all of that. The other thing that increased with the police department is overtime. Because of the way they are calculating overtime, and if you go to the detail page, and I'll let Rick kind of go through everything else, but overtime, police is a red tab.
I don't think everyone has colored tabs.
I'm sorry. Page 33, look under police and school patrol is the detail of the budget.
Yeah, the name of the tab is police
yeah,
and
some
school
people,
patrol.
Sorry.
So it sounds like sometime in the first part of next year we're going to start renegotiating.
Yes. Yeah. Unless we want to extend it into 2015, then we would have one more year.
What's the percentage?
33.
I think it's another 3%.
On page 33.
All right, so I just got a break.
Police and
no
school
control.
Oh,
control.
This is going
consistent. Okay.
Yeah.
We're mid contract. How are we getting hit with this when they decide to change how? I just please understand this has nothing to do with any individuals. This is a contractual thing.
I can
thing.
Answer some of it for you.
Okay.
I brought up the same thing, and what they started doing in about the last year is on our overtime cards that we fill out and turn in that need to be approved or denied by supervisors. For each of the villages, Howard, Somico, Bellevue, Alloway, if it's based, the reason you're there late or on overtime is based on an Alloway call, there's a box to check for Alloway or Bellevue or Somico or wherever it was. So it's not so much that there's more police activity or anything like that. They're just keeping much better track of it than they have in past years.
So
they have very detailed reports on how many overtime hours are spent for each village because we now have to check off, say, if I stay late and I'm going to put an overtime card in, I check an Alloway.
I get you.
Yeah.
But so if this is a countywide officer that's not assigned to us mm-hmm. as part of the 24-hour patrol or you and they check the Alloway yeah. box, we're being charged for that overtime?
At times, if it's a county officer that's working on an Alloway call, like as a backup officer or even a primary officer, if say the Alloway car was already busy and then another officer comes in back or take a different call, if they're on overtime, then they check Alloway.
So our car could be in Bellevue because they called us. We get the call first. Our car heads to Bellevue mm-hmm. to handle a Bellevue call. So then they backfill it with a county guy who just happens to be on overtime, and then we get charged for the overtime?
I think that's very unlikely. I don't want to tell you 100% because that gets a little bit beyond what I'm doing.
Just my feedback. The chances of
the Alloway car being on a call in Bellevue are slim to none. I mean, don't get me wrong, it happens. We've had
residents see them.
Yeah,
well, exactly.
And, you know, it goes, like I said in the past, I mean, it goes both ways.
So.
In theory, if for some reason that county car comes to Alloway and it creates overtime, if he's already working an overtime shift or something like that, that doesn't affect. That's not a bill then. If it's the Alloway car is busy with something else and a regular shift officer gets sent in and that call ends up going into overtime or creating overtime, then it's possible to get billed.
So yes. What are our Brown County taxes our residents pay on the Brown County tax rolls to go to the Sheriff's
Uh-oh.
Department for?
You're coming.
I'm
already.
Sorry.
Already.
I really had no intention
there. And that stuff is getting above my head.
I know. That's a good answer for you. But I would love some answers to that, and they won't be surprised at that.
When they made the change, I think basically what happened is, Todd got into the role that he's filling and started choking into overtime more so. So then all of a sudden, midsummer, I got a call saying, hey, we're looking at overtime more clearly or more detailed, and there's been some overtime that hasn't been charged out properly. So I made him, he's been giving me the list of everybody that goes overtime, what their overtime is. It has never been an officer just random that has come in. It's been our regular officers that are assigned or someone that's in filling a spot. And it's usually if they get a call late in the day, late at the end of their shift, they may get a DWI, they may get something, so they're processing that, or it's court. And a lot of it really is court. If you look at our list. And I think Clara had done a rundown, kind of looked at that a little more detailed for us. But we don't have a lot of months to base it on. I mean, it's only been detailed probably the last two or three quarters that we've actually gotten more of a detailed bill. So that's really what has happened. They're just accounting for their overtime more correctly or more detailed and looking at it and this being charged to, I suppose, the right way. So, but I do have a list and he does list it off.
I get that if it's our officer. However, if I lived in Morrison, Wisconsin, whoever the county officer is covers that under my county taxes. If that officer stays on overtime, that's covered on my county taxes. Morrison's not billed for that. So just what I want to make sure, I don't get me wrong, our officer's fine. You know, we've contracted for that. But, you know, a call comes in and one of the county officers comes in here that's a county-wide officer. I just want to make sure that that's not then getting charged our residents, too. Because to me, that's completely not fair. That's what county taxes are for.
Yeah, and I don't believe that is. At least all the ones I've looked at, they have been, like, our officers are, that have been working for us strictly.
Okay.
I'll double check.
That's basically the double-dipping issue, right?
Oh,
yeah. Outside of that, I have a problem with the fact that they were sort of insulted when we were exploring having our own department. We wanted an itemized bill as to what we were paying all this money for. And, you know, we have all the data, and it's really being used for specific purposes. And they weren't even keeping a record correctly of overtime. That seems like a fundamental reporting requirement of how much overtime is each officer putting in and where are they putting it in. I mean, that. So I just feel like,
and then
you know, we signed this contract, and then there was some leeway as to how much it would go up, and lo and behold, they found some rationale as to why it should go up 3% because we were reporting wrong all these years.
Well,
it's not really a legitimate...
The billing mechanism mid-contract?
I mean, even if you're right, even if it's
right.
Now we found out we were doing it wrong before and we're
right.
doing it right now, it
yeah.
just doesn't
right,
reflect
says,
very positively on...
Yeah. It says right in our contract, overtime will be approximately $2,500 or whatever, you know, and that's kind of what it's been over the years, you know. That's, and I always thought probably that's really a good deal, you know, that's cheap for police officers, but, so yeah, that's kind of where...
Yeah, but the fundamental problem is just the annualized 3% bumps. I mean, between 2012 and budget of 2014, it's 60 grand more than it was.
That's right.
2 years ago. You know, that's, you know, and another 2 years of its other 60 grand, and that's just, that's hard to budget.
Yeah.
Not that we don't get, I mean, we get excellent service, but, you know, 60 grand in 2 years.
Yes, this is all contractual.
Yeah.
Yes.
No,
so
I understand.
Sure.
You're over my head on that, so.
It's all contractual.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the
right.
service that we're getting.
Past the contractual stuff.
I like
the only changes I've made, I start with the stuff that I look at specifically, or Tracy asked me to, the supplies account, which is number 312 at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Remain the same. I've had that since I've been in the position. That seems to work well. I bought stuff like digital cameras, small miscellaneous things that come up. Equipment like flash cards, for the cameras, the memory cards, stuff like that. Just small items that come up. In the account, tools, small equipment, 340, the number at the end. That has normally been $1,000 and same type of thing. I've used it for stuff for the car, office supplies, different stuff like that. The only thing I added to that is for a new radar unit. For the 24-hour car. The radar unit is the one that's mounted in the car. Right now, I know it's iffy if it even turns on or not in the squad. It was kind of the same thing as last year when I asked for the new laser units. I'm pretty certain the one that's in that car is the same one I used 10 years ago when I was brand new in training with Sandberg. So it's got some years on it. I guess it would be a possibility to try to send it in for repair. I don't know how much that would cost, and my fear on that would be that it's just going to continually be one thing after another, being given the age of it and everything else. So we added $1,800, and that was the quote I got from the company to replace it. If anybody's interested in that, I have that quote here. So I made that account $2,800.
Rick, aside from things that might be going up,
yes,
you mentioned the first one was supplies is staying the same, and
yes.
I guess at one level that's fine, but if we look at the projected numbers, some of these were not hitting your projected numbers for this year.
Okay.
What's the rationale for keeping them where they are?
I guess I've always played it very conservative. We've had it in the past. I use it as more of a if we need equipment, miscellaneous things that come up.
Right.
I don't know where I'm at. Off the top of my head, for wise of let's see, June for the $2,000 one, I was only at about $550. I think since then, you know, we bought some lights for cars, several other things. I don't know what date you guys have on yours.
And this is rolled over into the general fund if we don't spend it during any fiscal year, so it's not like you can use savings that you've had from previous years. To.
So, I mean, and I do look at things towards the end of the year. I check my accounts, and if I do have money available, I try to think of things, or I ask the officers, can you think of anything that we need for the car or anything else that we, you know, small miscellaneous things that would be helpful or whatever the case may be, and I try to take some of that and make sure it gets used before the end of the year. But throughout the year, I try to, if I don't need it, I don't go buy it.
I appreciate that. Okay. If you don't need it, you don't buy it. But even if we look at the actual for 2012, I mean, some of these numbers, mechanic charges, mm-hmm. were 22.23 in 2012.
Yep.
And we budgeted $5,000 in 2013, and the projected is $2,500. So we're not only being conservative, we're doubling what we've traditionally spent on that.
Yeah, I guess I've never looked at the mechanic charges all that much before. I don't know how that compares to previous years, but we've done well with the car in the past. You know, I guess the one thing to think about, like, I know recently you guys have been talking about the transmission may or may not be having trouble. So I know I've talked about that, like, you know, at the end of the year come, you know, if that turns into something, that may be a significant expense. Because it is a newer car. Well, newer to the beginning of this year, so I think it has about 35,000 or 40,000 miles on it. So, I guess I would say it doesn't take much as far as that end. If it ends up being a transmission, or that could go pretty quick if something significant happens.
So how would we work this if it doesn't happen with a transmission, but it happens, something else happens, and you can't make budget on a different line? Do we basically just pull from
a
different line
and
item, and we're fine?
Still put it in there because you want to know where it came from, but then obviously you're overexpended. You'll see in some of the budget line items we've actually overexpended this year just because of situations,
right.
And that's what we would continue to do because we don't want to stick it somewhere else and we don't realize, you know, what line item it is, so we would put it in there regardless.
So it makes sense to be conservative with the overall budget and make sure that you have something in the overall budget in case something in one or two line items you can't make budget.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make sense to be overly conservative in every line item because then you're just going to end up being kind of out of whack.
Mm-hmm.
So if we look at the overall budget, it's $994. Projected for this year is $959, and now there's going to be that 3% increase. And then 2012 it was $922. So it seems like we have a lot, you know, plenty of cushion in there in the overall budget in case you could have quite a few transmissions go wrong and still be able to make.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I don't know if the mechanic number came from Bob, you know, if that's where the mechanic number comes from.
For the actual or the projected?
Right,
for
what you put in for budget, saying this is what we would budget for 2014, the
right.
5,000. If that's what his recommendation was on the budget for the mechanics, I would imagine that's where that came from.
Which is fine. I mean,
but
it doesn't matter where it comes from. If we're basically doubling what we think we're going to spend for everything, we're going to end up with a huge budget, aggregate budget, and because we want each line item to be padded just in case, and I don't think that's necessary.
Yeah.
What was that increase, Rick, on the outlay equipment from 18
to 26.7?
That is going to be a squad car. The meeting, maybe, or one of the board meetings 2 months ago, I mentioned Crown Vics are no longer being made. I think the typical cost for, and we didn't specifically budget for a car last year because we had this one that we're using now in waiting. So I think that's why it got bumped down a little bit to 18,000. Just, I think, kind of mentioning we wanted to keep something there so we didn't get rid of it all, and all of a sudden it's a big hit again this year. what we're looking at, and I would lean towards, is a Dodge Charger. The county is going with the Chargers, so is Green Bay Police. That seems to be the favored vehicle. The list price, the quote I got was $24,683, and then I estimated approximately $2,000 for new equipment, such as the center console, which holds all the radio and siren equipment. Also, part of that is a computer dock, an arm that all sits on. Our old light bar should work with that, so we don't need that. There's the divider, the cage, so you can transport prisoners, and window bars is what I was estimating for the $2,000. In equipment, because it won't transfer from the Crown Vic, it won't fit into the Dodge. So we're in a spot where you have to change.
When we buy those things, do we buy them under a county like purchasing?
The $24,000 is under the state enforcement contract. So that seems to be the bottom line.
What do you have a smart?
So what about the net of the existing vehicle? Then?
I'm sorry.
What are we going to do with the Crown Vic that's being replaced?
It would actually, I think Bob just sold the old one a couple months ago. I remember he asked. I don't remember if I think he said he got $5,500 for it.
Yeah, I remember that.
Which I think, considering the high mileage and all city driving, some at times pretty hard driving, I think that's you got a good deal selling it. So.
Claire, what account number was the sale of the car go back into? We sold that one, does that go into? You don't have a revenue account, really.
There might be one under 1018. It's just nothing was in it as of 6:30, so it didn't show up in here. But I believe it went into the mileage reimbursement. The same 1018.
That's going to be, the equipment will be removed and transferred to the new Dodge. What is happening with that?
That car we'll try to sell the same as we did the old car this past year when we put the car that's currently in service in. Not all the equipment's going to transfer over to a new car, so we can try to sell some stuff. I don't know how that's going to go exactly.
So when we purchased that last one was a Crown Vic, and we purchased that early because they were discontinued Crown Vic. So we bought that like a half a year early.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, so then we didn't have to get all the new equipment in it. But we knew when we went to this one, the Dodge, which kind of is one of the choices for the Crown Vic, the cage and some of the things just don't fit in it because the size is different. So that's why we kind of pushed that so we could get another year before we have to do all the changes with all the interior stuff, or not all of it, but a percentage of it. So, here's the list. I can certainly pass this around of the things that we have to purchase new for if we go with the that. And we can't even go with the Vic. The Vic
isn't an option anymore.
And, some of that equipment that's in there, I don't know how many people have, the Vics running around anymore, so maybe there's not even a market for it because of their older Vics, the police officers can't order them anymore.
The new people.
So unless there's an old one that they're looking to refit for some reason,
Shouldn't we list this as a net figure, though, or a net of some?
It shows in the revenue.
Surplus sale?
Yeah, it's in the revenue side, I'm sure. Well, we probably budget for it in the revenue side, though, because we don't know exactly what we're getting for it.
Yeah.
Well, we've got the carryover, if I'm looking at this right, from $13,000 of what's left of this year. If we truly are only spending four of the 18 that was there.
On
the 411.
The one thing I learned after all these last several years is that projected is never
right. Well, that's why
it's just not a reliable column.
Well, what are we thinking we're spending for this year, and how much carryover is that? Because the thing is, sometimes these carryovers just get swallowed up into the general budget, which instead of
if you don't use it, you still have it.
Yeah. Right, but we don't attribute it to this column. So what I'm getting at is if we have, $13,000 in carryover, we're budgeting $13,700 new. Does that make any sense at all?
Not in accounting words.
Well, it just gets sucked up into that.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. Okay, good.
But that's just not how it's done.
I think this $25,000 in equipment charges, which I didn't list anything, I think that was what Julia mentioned to stay keep in. And this $18,000, that was the new radios.
Yes.
And that's why it went up to 26?
No.
For radios?
Equipment outlay is 18.
We already have the radios.
Yeah.
So that, I would assume, must have got billed after June. Because I think the $4,100 we spent, that's what I used to purchase the new lasers that we talked about last year. And then we left the 13 and change, whatever it was going to be for two new radios and two new modems for the new radio switchover, which we have in our possession. There's waiting to be installed. Baycom's doing the installs, and they're just... We're on the list, basically, but everybody's on the list. So, so that's what the $18,000 was from. So maybe we should, maybe the equipment charges is where the car should be, and maybe that's the $25,000 that we were told to leave in there, so we weren't zeroing out 100% and then coming back for.
So what's the $26,000 going to then?
The $26,700 is for the Dodge plus the equipment to outfit the Dodge.
Okay, I got that. So what's the $25,000 going to next year?
That's the equipment replacement fund that goes into future.
We should have $25,000 from this year in the equipment replacement fund.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's not, it's still there.
So why is it the car coming out of the equipment replacement fund?
Exactly.
Versus the operating budget.
Mm-hmm.
But as I understood from years past, we never put the police car in the equipment replacement fund. It was never charged out like that. It was always a new vehicle.
It's in the budget this year for 2013.
Yeah, I see that, but...
Yeah.
How many cars do we have?
It wasn't before.
We have two. And do we get one every year? One new one every year?
Typically every year. But we didn't last year because we purchased early.
The early ones.
So we did the early thing, so then... What we put in $25,000 in the equipment replacement fund, like Rick had said, to keep that number out there. So then the next year, all of a sudden, you're not coming back and you're short. And then the $18,000 was for the radios, laser speed detectors. So that was what it was.
So the question is, what is in the equipment replacement fund now for that vehicle? For those vehicles?
Tracy, is that where the $26,700 should be? And then outlay equipment? Doesn't necessarily need.
You know, usually you've always budgeted for the vehicles and all the equipment. I mean, you look back, and the vehicles have been in that line item in the past.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
But then what are 25 grand?
Why are we dumping
25
grand?
Yeah.
Into the, yes.
Right.
Into the equipment reserve if we're not drawing to buy them.
Yeah.
Right.
There's 25 there now.
Right. Yeah.
We don't need
any money.
We need $1,700.
If we move that to an equipment fund from this year, what
from
we
the
had
operating
left.
Budget,
right.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't we? Right?
You don't go in every line item and move it. But remember Julie used to give us a list of things where she transferred?
Right.
Yeah.
But are we reading that right, Rick? I mean, we have 25 grand there for the purpose of buying
a new car.
New car. So we should use it to buy a new car, right?
Yeah. Right.
Which means we don't have to budget
25
again. So, I mean, if that's able to roll over, then...
Yeah.
I mean,
it should be in that fund.
Right.
Already.
So we should probably
Claire, are you thinking of it?
Take the new purchase out
are you
of
thinking about that?
Replacement.
Yeah.
I don't mind budgeting 25 grand in there.
For the
new
car,
yeah.
Right. But
otherwise, I'm just thinking
double whack.
Well, yeah,
I just remember someone saying it doesn't come out of equipment replacement fund. They always put it as a line item.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
What's that?
I mean, we should purchase this new vehicle out of
equipment replacement,
but still budget the 25 grand to go into equipment replacement.
But there are no charges going into. If I'm looking at this, equipment charges are zero.
Yeah,
right. There's no money going
that.
Into.
Right.
Well, wait a minute. We've got $25,000 in the budget of 2013 that's meant to head that equipment replacement.
Yeah, but there are no charges going in it.
See, I remember Julie saying that you didn't do that with the police car because they were replaced so often. There wasn't. It wasn't charged to another fund.
Yeah, but I guess what I'm getting at is we're being... So next year, we have over $50,000 in the budget for a squad car?
Yeah.
Yeah,
between
equipment and hardware,
I mean, that's kind of crazy.
If we're buying a car every year, why do we have an equipment replacement?
We don't. I don't think we do.
We budget every year for a car.
We don't.
Yeah, I don't believe it.
Equipment charges.
Pardon?
When I bought the car that's in current use, it was 2011. And I think we purchased that out of, how did that work? Because we didn't have it budgeted for that year.
Right.
But it came up that they were going to stop making Crown Vicks, and we didn't want to have to buy all this new equipment right away. So we bought the car early.
Out of the general fund?
Out of the general fund.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so
budgeted
initially for 2013, we weren't going to budget for the car because this car we had sitting...
Waiting,
and it went into service early this year. But then, I don't know if would the $25,000 have something to do with that car anyway, but it came out of the general fund the year before.
So
we replaced it in the general fund.
Did we replace the general fund money with budgeted money from 2013? Is that the idea?
If that put back in to 11 when we purchased it, or
we purchased it in 11? Using 2012 general fund money.
It was 2012 money
that
we used in 2011. So I guess
I think we need to know exactly where that money is going and coming from.
Yeah, because it looks familiar.
Yeah.
Last year we put $25,000 into the equipment replacement fund.
Right.
Based on equipment charges.
And this year
it was $25,000
budgeted again.
Was simply based on we don't want to zero out that account in case something comes up. And then we have to go back and up it. So for this coming year, I think we can pick one or the other. I really,
but just not both.
Right.
Right. We don't. Awesome. I don't think. I don't see any reason to. But we need.
Then you have one vehicle. That's all we want.
Right.
Right.
We're just looking at the one vehicle. So I mean,
yeah,
we can get rid of that
and borrow from the general fund.
Shouldn't we just eliminate the 542 line item entirely?
Yeah, I think you could do that.
Yeah.
And then we can just keep the vehicle and the outlay equipment. And
every year.
That's what I thought. Yeah. I thought
the
first time I did
this
is the outlay equipment is where the vehicle was.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but I think for this year, we should take the $25,000 out of equipment replacement to buy this vehicle because we put it in 2013.
But we didn't really put it in.
That would be an account transfer. That would be an account transfer that we do at the end of the year.
We budget it for it.
Yeah. So the $25,000 that's there that we budgeted for and we levied for this year that the taxpayers paid for, that should be transferred to 810. Right.
Yep.
And then 542 should not be replenished. That should be eliminated.
Just eliminated.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then we just understand going forward that when we buy them on an annual basis, they're just coming out of the operating.
Right.
Yeah, they're coming out of the equipment outlay.
Yep. Because they use them up too fast. They're not really an asset is what I recall.
So then $25,000 is coming out of the equipment charges, or is getting
transferred into 810, right?
Yeah,
transferred to 810. And then
we've routinely done those. Yeah. When did we do those? In December or in January?
January.
Yeah. So can we do that now?
Claire?
Why don't we do that now?
I'm sorry, what was
that? So that when would the charger be purchased?
We're not in a hurry to do it.
Clara, he wants to
the car that's in service should be good.
$25,000 from 542 to 810.
Well, if not the whole year.
And then get
okay,
rid
so
of 542
close to it.
So this would probably be
the
second half of.
But he's wondering if we're going to transfer the funds now and we're going to need them.
We could transfer the funds now.
Is that?
And we could find a vehicle in summertime next year.
Really, what they're talking about, I think, is rolling that money forward into the budget.
Right.
And not being charged
and not
over 50
putting it in the general fund when you close out. So you have to save that money in a sense.
Yeah, I mean, you just designate it for it.
Yeah,
But also cleaning this up so that 542 is just gone.
We would eliminate 542.
That seemed to be the confusion is we had two line items for buying cars.
That was
and
last year, it looks like.
But to a total over $50,000 when we don't need near that much.
Well, it looks like it was reimbursing for something.
See, that's what I think is if the vehicle was bought early, it was to reimburse the general fund for that vehicle that was brought.
Why would you need a new line item for that, though?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you just take it out of?
Well, because it's already.
It would have been a 2012 expenditure.
Yeah.
And then
it was already on the books.
We purchased it in 11, so we purchased it early, so then...
You got to pay back.
You have to pay back the general fund, but why do you need to create a new line item for paying back the general fund?
So you didn't mix up the two? This isn't going out, and that's in a charge, I would think?
Well, and if you
all have... So it just mixed this up.
Yeah. Peter, and this one's Paul.
It ended up causing more confusion.
Yes, it
well,
did.
And if we all have this many questions, we need to be able to explain where all this is going to people.
She found an invoice for something.
It's a debit and credit sheet.
It is. Red marks on there. I like that.
I kind of like this. We started on -3.4.
She just saved another 25 grand.
Yeah.
We could cut a few more line items here, too. There's room for cutting, yeah.
I'm trying here.
So what about just going with the $2,500 mechanic charge on a vehicle that has 38,000 miles on it?
Right, and a brand new one.
Transmission?
Yeah.
Talking about 541?
541.
Mechanic charges.
Okay, and then is the cleaning, the contracted service for cleaning, is that for your uniforms?
No.
That's
I actually asked about that.
That's there's a locker room in the back by the way in the back by the shop area that was used as a police locker room.
Okay.
But the police don't use it anymore because they now start out of except for Rick, they start out at the Brown County Sheriff's Department. They start there and then they leave there. So they don't use the locker room anymore. So we shifted that out of there and back to the woman's locker room. So it's back now. The cleaning costs are back in our general fund, village hall,
okay.
And the police.
Okay, I see.
So it was charged out by footage, and they had that bunch of feet. And
yes. Yeah. So we just shifted it back where it was in the general village hall site, rather than
and
the police.
And the 312 supplies. What are those for again, Rick? Those supplies.
That's for general stuff. Example, I think the size chair bought new cameras for squad cars, digital cameras, camera cards. Miscellaneous equipment like that. Those are the two I'm thinking of off the top of my head.
Okay.
Different equipment.
Tasers.
That was
the
ordered.
Tasers, I think,
Tasers are handled by the sheriff's department, totally.
Yes.
So we don't have to deal with that anymore. I think that was.
Yeah, it got changed over. Yeah,
because the original one did.
Yeah.
So can we do $1,000 in that account, in that line item?
Yeah, I think so.
Which one, Paul?
312 supplies.
What are you paying?
$1,000, the same as our projected.
Actual.
2013.
You're talking about 312? I got nine. Oh, you're talking about 349.
Supplies.
312. Supplies. So reduce it from 2,000 to 1,000?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's only budgeted at 9.
Did you not replace the right sheet?
We wanted to.
Is that one of the replacement sheets?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Different three.
That's a different one, yeah. You got to look at the other numbers.
No, Rick, if that makes sense to you, but it looks like that $25,000 was something divided by 3. And this amount divided by 2 for the $25,000. Last year, that $18,000 included fund balance carryover. So we didn't levy for it. We carried over. We only levied for $5,000 of that $18,000 last year. But I don't know what those two numbers are. It looks like two specific amounts.
Clara, I've been thinking about...
Yeah, I guess I don't know what to tell you.
Replacement only.
Okay.
I've been thinking about something that I think kind of impacts all these conversations. To me, good budgeting is all about trying to predict the future and do it as accurately as possible. And Randy mentioned, well, I don't even look at the projected numbers because they're so off as it is. But now we're asking Rick to sort of project into the future. Can you deal with 1,000 instead of 2,000? Do we have data on how accurate our projected numbers are?
Like if I went back to last year and looked at the budget and looked at the projected?
Yeah.
I never went back and looked. I mean, it's something you could do.
We know that we're typically 20% over on our projected when, at the end of the year when we actually calculate actuals. Then we could at least do some adjustment. So,
any budget excess, we've spent all the money we're going to spend, and we didn't spend up to the budget. That goes into fund balance.
Right.
typically on an annual basis, how much do we stick into the fund balance?
You could do it that way, too, yeah.
I mean, because if every year we're sticking in 100 grand into fund balance, and we're apparently not spending 100 grand that we budgeted for, you know, that'd be a good number.
But you've got to keep X amount in fund balance, too, and we use it, and we have to replenish it.
Yeah.
So there's...
Yeah. You know, our fund balance is good, as you all know. We're at, what, 35-40%, I think, in fund balance right now, Claire, or something
yeah.
like that?
Yeah.
So we obviously have a very good fund balance. Our policy is...
I don't think it's been growing by hundreds of thousands. I mean, in 2012, it went down a little. It's projected to go down because it was budgeted to go into fund balance for 2013. So these next 2 years, it will go down a little, 2012 and 2013.
And what's the amount we need to have in there?
You need to have, I'm trying to think, with we adopted here, 30%
I
of
think it's
the next
32,
year's
yeah.
budgeted expenditure
yep,
should be a reserve.
So we're, I mean, last year, you know, our audited report, we were well above.
About the 30%?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we're around 50.
Could we get those numbers maybe by Wednesday? I mean, just last 5 years, how much excess did we have that we slid into fund balance at the end of the fiscal year?
How so the change in fund balance over the past 5 years for the general fund?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
what's left at the end? Kind of
that goes into it. Yeah, I mean, because it'll increase or decrease depending upon investments, I assume. But, I mean, are we sticking in 100 grand a year, 150 grand a year? Yeah.
And what number are we supposed to be at right now? Like, what's the 30%?
That's in the audit reports also, in the notes.
Okay.
There's a chart in the back that has the fund balance, the percentage, and the range.
And I remember we're good. Yeah. I remember that, but I don't remember the detail of it.
How are the projected numbers calculated? Is that
department heads.
Department heads.
We all look at it, and we have obviously the 630 actual, and then we kind of look at that and say, okay, what do I have yet this year that has to be expended or that I think will be expended? So really what you're getting for projected is from the department heads.
I would like to see another column, even if we're not working with it at budget time, but just I'm interested to know how far we're off when we talk about halfway through the year when we're trying to project, and if there are certain areas that tend to be better or worse than others at projecting.
I think the actual 6:30. A lot of people have commented that it's not.
Yeah,
that
is
6:30 is a hard time to look at it because,
yeah, there's a lot
like
of
Rick said, there's
the
stuff
the
you save. I know the people that I work with too. It's like, oh, we're doing really good, and then at the end of the year, they hand in all this stuff that they're waiting to the end of the year to buy. Why didn't you tell me?
I can understand that. At certain times your expenditures might go up or down, but the department heads, that's their job is sort of know the ebb and flow of these things.
Right.
I'm just interested to know how good we are at projecting where we think we're going to be at the end of the year. And if we're not very good at all, maybe we just get rid of that column altogether.
Couldn't we have an actual 9:30?
Sure, I think.
I don't think so, no, not to get these books out in time. Because to get 9:30 numbers, I mean, given I'm down in person, but I just got in September's numbers on Friday at like 6 p.m. So, I mean, it would not be in this book. Because you have to wait for all the everything to come in from the end of the month.
I mean, the books could be all sent out, and depending on when our first budget meeting is, there's a potential to have the month end for September, then you would know more so. But to put it in the budget line items, it's just you wouldn't get them in time. It would be you'd have to put it out too far.
I mean, I look at the projected numbers, and I assume that they're
the
person's best estimate, and I'm assuming that they're relatively accurate, but that might not be a safe assumption for all items or for all budgets.
Are you saying the department heads do their projected based on their actual? So you're right, they should know if they're saving their tools and they're going to buy them at the end of the year, they should know that.
Yeah,
anyway.
Your projected, I think, is a better number to look at. Especially this year, I think that in June, you know, when we did the report, there might have been some things even outstanding then that didn't get into there that, you know, should have, just because doing the transition and stuff. So really, the projected is probably your best bet because the department head's looking at it.
Yeah.
and saying, you know, this is what I envision. And again, it's them, they may not end up spending that, or something major may happen to a vehicle that they don't anticipate, and all of a sudden that's totally blown out of the water. So it's just kind of their guess, their best estimate on what they think they're going to spend that year.
But it's probably human nature to be a bit conservative just in case. And so if we have every department had been conservative in every area, then, you know, I just want to be able to budget as accurately as possible.
Yeah.
So I'd like to get a sense of what that real projected number should be and how far off we tend to be.
Yeah.
So as far as Rick being here and going through these numbers, then can we safely say that we change 810 to $1,700 and we make the transfer before our budget process is done, so that he's comfortable, he knows that the money is there for next year then?
What I would mention, like, are you talking about for this 1800?
Yep.
No.
Okay,
no.
You need tools, small equipment is where I put that.
Okay.
Tools, small equipment, I haven't changed that at all. No,
right?
So you need the $1,000 plus the $1,800 for account number 340. That's no problem. It's the car.
The car
that you will only need $1,700 for. Yeah.
Total amount was $26,700.
So you need $16,700.
So, but we have the 25
covered.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm sorry. Yep, I got what you're saying. Yeah.
So what that's going
to
do is
25, and then leave the 1700 to.
Yes. So next year that account, you're going to have to refill that, you know, that account for 2015. That's going to be a big bump.
Right.
It's going to be a bump, but right. We cannot,
because we'll have to buy another car.
Right. In 2015, we'll have to buy another car. But we've already charged the taxpayers for the car for 2014.
Yeah. Yes, if we can use the 25. Budgeted for this year, you're absolutely right. Then we go with the 1700 if that works.
Okay, so we're taking out roughly $53,500 out of this budget then.
Clara, do you need to double check on this before
we,
because
like
there was that 75,000 divided by 3 thing that might be.
There was 30,000 divided by.
There's two numbers: 30,000 divided by 3, and then 30,000.
So if there really is $25,000 in there for a car, and that's what was supposed to be used for, and that's it, then I agree. We need to pay for the car with the money that we've already charged people for the car.
Okay, so that would be fund balance.
Well, the proposal is to transfer that into 810, get rid of fund 542 altogether,
so
and just
we're taking
pay
out
25
out of 810, 25 out of 542, 2500 out of 541, and $1,000 out of 312. So together that's 53,500.
Come on.
53,000.
I guess the important part is, did Claire get that?
Okay, so we want to get rid of 542, and the total amount we want in levied in 810 is
1,700.
If we have that 25,000 that we can use for the car, which we should.
And we're not using it in 2013.
Right.
It would be a fund balance carryover.
Yes.
Of 25,000.
Yes.
Plus an additional 1,700. And
right. And then you have the supplies from 2 to 1,000. Fund 312.
Okay, I got that.
And then the mechanic charge, did you get that one? Down to 2,500. That's 541.
Yep.
Okay.
And then I can assume we're not interested in doing a police SUV. It's more expensive. I looked into the resale. It's not a big enough difference to cover the upfront costs, so I don't.
I'm not interested.
Honestly, I don't think we should go that way.
Do you have a reason?
No, I don't think so. I just want to throw out options and let you know there are options other than a Dodge, if anybody's interested. I don't think
that's necessary. Is anybody doing cruisers besides Dodge, just out of curiosity?
Howard has a couple of these SUVs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that what you meant, Lynn, or are you talking about Chargers?
Yeah, like, no. Is there anything comparable to the Charger anymore?
Oh, I see what you're talking
about. There is another Ford's squad car. I didn't look into that one very much as far as cost goes. I don't know of any departments around here that are using it. I know it got tested by Green Bay, and they went with Dodge. Mm-hmm. The county also tested the new Chevy Caprices. You'll see that we have two of those that are running around. They
any
just
good?
Decided against them.
Yeah.
Guys in general aren't in favor of
the guys in Hawaii fly both running the Charger.
I love it.
Does Bob know that the Charger is the car that's being considered? Yeah. He does. He's fine with that.
Yeah. I know at Schwabnon.
Yeah, your mechanic charges might go up.
Yeah, just as long as he's
on doesn't know how to work them.
I don't know. We'll see how that works, I guess. I know at Schwabnon has, I think their end goal is they're switching to all Chevy Tahoes, which I don't know. Cost wise, I think are significantly more. So I don't know.
You've got to use more
gas. They're huge.
I don't know why they do it that way or why they're so big on it, but apparently they have the money to spend, so that's what they're doing, I guess. I don't know. I don't have the explanation for you, I guess.
Is the new car for the patrol officers, or is the new car yours?
No, for patrol.
All right. So you have the car that's the last Crown Vic that we.
The car I'm driving was brand new when I started. I think Sandberg had just gotten that one set up. And then I bought the Crown Vic in fall of 2011 that's on patrol right now. So technically, the most recent purchase is the one that's on patrol right now. Yeah. But being that I'm the only one that typically uses my car, short of me getting an accident or something, some catastrophe happening, it should last me quite a while. So
okay.
I'm not concerned about it at this point.
Okay.
You really want to drive the Charger.
I know.
The Charger seems smaller, though.
They are a little bit smaller.
Yeah.
So there's things they change around.
Anything else?
I don't think so.
Any other questions for Greg? All right. Thank you.
Have a good night.
Thanks for
staying.
Thank you. Maybe we can jump to Mark right away with the school patrol and the animal control. And they're in that same budget. We can look in your detail again, or excuse me, your summary. Let's see what page is that on. That is page 3.
Okay,
yep. It's a code enforcement cadets, the line item for that. That one up 31%, that really is the software. Right now the software is in there and we have the original. I'm on the wrong one. We're staying with police. Please go to animal control.
On page 33?
Yeah. Animal control and school patrol are both there. So I don't know if we can start with school patrol. If you have any questions for Mark, school patrol, there hasn't been really a vast change in that budget at all.
Just one thing is the wages went up, but the Social Security didn't change, and that can't happen really. Wouldn't change much, but.
But it changed.
But it would change.
For the school patrol?
Yeah. If your wages go up, your Social Security tax will go up. Might not be much, but they wouldn't be the same number.
I'm looking at the wrong. I have a budget for 2013 is $40,000 for both.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking for projected in budget. I see. They just it's just not.
Just put the wrong number in projected.
Right.
However, retirement went up.
Yes, because the percentage went up.
Larry, do you remember what percentage went up?
Shoot. I'll look it up online.
Okay.
And
went yeah, up. It went up. It was 6.65 this year. It's escaping me and what it is, but it went up a little.
Okay.
So that's all.
There's not a lot there for the...
Yeah.
We did include, there is a wage increase for our cross guard starting in the fall. Right. They will get, we looked at the survey and we did bump their wages because they were low, comparable to other communities.
Did we have a crossing guard that wasn't getting much business at one point?
Yes.
Or a couple? Do we still have them?
We still have the guards.
But not the site?
Position. Yeah, we've moved the positions around.
How many were there where they weren't getting a lot of?
Actually, I think I had 10 full-time. It kind of varies right now because we'll have one that works in the morning but doesn't work in the afternoon. It's like we'll have another one then. So we're actually up to 20-something guards right now, but a lot of them are.
I mean, which site? How many sites did we have that weren't? Because we had to move sites, right? They were just weren't getting
just
a lot
one
of kids.
Just one.
Just one?
Yeah,
it was Webster. Yeah. And then we actually...
Where was that moved to?
We just cut it.
Cut it.
We just cut it. Kept the guard. And then we actually dropped a guard at Libel and Alloway. We had two there. We dropped them to one, but we're probably back to two now because of we're having some issues with traffic.
Okay. All right.
Are the squads sitting there what's if you're having issues with traffic?
They're, unfortunately, they're, the worst part really is at Langley up there on Broadview mm-hmm. and Libel. That is the worst area for problems. And police officers generally stay right there. The problem we're having here at the roundabout is we're getting complaints that when the people are coming down the hill, the way the roundabout's set so you can't see straight ahead, we only have one guard and she's on the other side by the church side. And when she's out there, the cars are seeing her coming around the corner. And it surprises them. They don't see her until they come around the roundabout and almost hitting the guards. Unfortunately, that's the driver's problem. They're not supposed to be speeding around those corners, and that's what they're doing. You know, if you do the speed limit through there, you'll see the guarding time. But that's what the only thing we could come up with is basically either get a giant sign so you can see over the mound and the roundabout, or put a second guard out there to stop traffic as it comes down so they both go out at the same time. So.
Meanwhile, while you're implementing that, can we get one of our officers to sit there? It's amazing what a few tickets do to slow people down, at least for the short term.
I'm not worried about that.
Or can we get some signage that just says crossing guard on
there's video? A ton.
There's a ton of signage.
Yeah.
I mean, we've really overdosed it already, and, you know, we don't know what else we could add because there's the ones on the ground, there's signs all over, it really is well signed, and... You're not supposed to be able to see through the middle of the roundabout because that's not your conflict. Your conflict is from your left. So, you know, it's just weird. Two people, totally unrelated people that just said the same. It was a gentleman at your place when I was here, and then I had another gentleman the other day when I was at a meeting mentioned it to me. So Mark and I talked about it, and we're going back just to the two guards and see how that goes, and then we'll reevaluate because that's what they do at the roundabouts up on Lineville, up in Howard. They have the two guards. Also, you know, shutting out both sides. Mm-hmm. So we'll try that again. That's what we did do, and then we kind of pulled away from it. But maybe we need to try it again because we just start slowing down. You know, and just wait someone's going to get hit.
Oh, yeah. So meanwhile, through the officers'
hands.
That's crazy.
Any other questions about these two smaller?
Margie, did you say that computer program is in here?
No, I'm sorry. It's
that's
in
a
different
place.
Budget. It's in inspections. Before we go away from this one, though, the Humane Society is in here. It's on the bottom of 33 and 34. And as you guys know, we're contracting with Monica and Troy now, so we never had wages.
They're employees.
Yeah, they're employees now, yes, contracted.
Wait for their wages.
Just based it on, basically, I took 48 hours a year for Monica, 96 hours for Troy, based on kind of the past, what they had this past year, which we only had 3 to 4 months to base it on. And then you'll notice there's a mileage amount in there, too. We've never had that before. Monica already is under Wisconsin retirement, so when you see the retirement amount, that's covering Monica because we have to put her on Wisconsin retirement because she's already in it. And then you have the mileage, which, again, I just based it on kind of past. So that's why animal control went up. We still have the contract mm-hmm. with the Humane Society, but then because we're contracting with Monica and Troy versus the City of Green Bay, that's the changes in animal control.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Went up a bit. And then the other line, other section for Mark would be the under inspections. Yeah. So it'd be page
14.
14. 14. 14. Yeah. And this software is on the top of 15, actually.
So what were the new prices for the software?
The first one, where it says 2,950, would be 1,950. The second one, 4,650, would drop down to
17.
What?
Down to 1,700. Yeah, I'm sorry. First one dropped down to 1,000, second dropped to 1,700. So that actually the cost change was $4,900. Was a difference.
First one dropped down to what?
1,000. Sorry.
Oh, I thought you said 1,950.
I did.
1,000 less than the budget.
1,000.
Oh, 1,000 less. Okay.
Okay. That's 811. Right.
No, actually, I'm sorry. Yes. It would be $1,000. So it would be
811 savings. We're going to say 1,000.
It's 1,000.
So down 811 would be 1,000.
It would be $1,000 what? Reduction or is that the price?
It would be the dollar amount.
Okay.
Yes.
Sorry.
Okay.
And the software maintenance would be 1,700.
So the maintenance is more than the initial set.
So 811 from 2950.
Well, I like these new prices, Mark. Sorry,
much nicer.
Software, but
yeah.
Once I talked to him, I said, no, there's no way. I reiterated that. Penny shaking her head, no, the whole entire time I was up there.
I don't know why I do that. Good thing you told me.
You're not going to be able to stop it anyway.
And I explained, I said, is there something? And he told me some what. He goes, yeah, we can drop this, and this. And he called me back and said, yeah, we can get this price. He said, and this is what Lynn saw, which I said, well, this is all I actually was asking for. It was this. I mean, the other stuff was bells and whistles. I thought that was just...
And that part to streamline what Mark does, I was pretty impressed with. In fact, that you can load it on a tablet, take it on Wi-Fi in his vehicle and do it right there. And the input was amazingly simple. So
I'm much more comfortable with this. As long as we do a little return on investment analysis and make sure that your ability to do what's that? Yeah.
Well, one of the things I'm concerned about, though, just how long the contract is, because with the purchase price being lower than the maintenance agreement, I just want to make sure we don't get in a position where in 2 years, they're deciding, pay double the maintenance.
I assumed it would be a year-to-year contract. Is that...
He did explain something to me about that. I'm sorry, I don't have it. He didn't send it with me. It was based on...
The cost of living. So depending on what cost of living in, that would be adjusted. The maintenance would be adjusted in that manner. So
that
but the contract is for a single year. Is it year
to
year?
The contract is for... It's an ongoing contract. So it's not a single year. It's an ongoing contract. I don't know. There must be an out of it.
Well, I know you can drop out. I asked him, so what happens if it's on a year down? He goes, you just drop out of it.
Yeah.
Because there's no software to install or anything. So there's no, just you want to quit, and they just
sort
cut you
subscription.
Off.
Yeah.
But you don't have to subscribe for a year at a time. If you decide it's not working, you can just stop paying. Is it? You pay by the month, or how do we pay for this?
It's an annual fee.
It's annual fee, yeah.
And I think there's probably a six-month lead time, I think, for if you don't want the contract or you don't want it anymore. There was some kind of time span in there that you had to notify them.
So you pay for the upcoming year, and let's say after 2 months you decide you don't want it, you have to keep it for another 6 months, is that right?
I think it was, I don't know.
So then they refund your money? Is that how they work it? They would refund?
Our contract, I
suppose. Does it sound like you provide some support?
It's got all sorts of support in there, and like if I forget how to do something, I can call them and say I forget how to do this, and they'll let you explain everything and how you can redo it. And if I just forget how to do something, and this is built to us the way the one he showed was Fort Collins, but that's a bigger city. But you cut down so much stuff and streamline it to what we have, what I need in there. I mean, all the ordinance is in there, the letters are in there, everything's in there. I don't have to go bounce all over the place to fill everything out. Mm-hmm. It keeps a
a running log, which I do manually now every month. I sit down, he keeps a running log, which he, you can break down anything you want to.
Yeah, we asked him to.
He broke it down into percentages, so you show what, you know, areas that are worse than other. What Lam was asked was about, okay, well, we got a renter, he's bouncing around place to place to place, but as long as I had his name in there, I can find him everywhere. He's moved, lived in the village, and whatever violations he's done. Same with landlords.
And to when Mark's writing a ticket, now you've got to go manually look up the old ones. You'll be on the street, stick it in. It pops up all the old violations, too. So for our escalating tickets, Mark's got that at his fingertips.
And may pay for itself.
It sounds great. Like I said, I've had experiences at work where we buy stuff, and we often have to customize it, and that's where we run into problems. Yeah. We have to customize. It sounds like we don't have to do any customizing at all of this thing. In fact, it does a million things more than we were going to be using it for, which makes me much more comfortable. But I would look to you, Mark, and to you, Tracy, just to make sure that we do a little return on investment analysis to make sure that, you know, we see when we started with the software and what happened to your ability to process tickets. And I would imagine you're going to be a lot more productive with this because you're going to have spend less time running around looking after paper.
Well, I was going to add in also about how well I do with the animal control, the debts, so when you write the citations, see if I can get all that information. Can they put that in there too? He said, whatever we want to customize this, we can. I said, it's, I want them to be able to put, like, if they're going to write a ticket, so that way I can figure out how much money they're making on citations. I had to really track the citations manually.
For the record, Trustee Gingrich is here at 6:25. Did someone need to notify Mr. Collins, or is he coming automatically?
He's coming at 6:30, so I have to take a little break for that.
Timing is everything.
Yeah,
and then I'll just tell Mr. Collins about that.
Why don't we finish up?
Is there anything else?
We'll take a break and.
I think that's it for Mark, because we did code, we did crossing guards, and animal control. So that would be
the balance, the agreements for 1 year. If we don't want to renew it, we got to give them at least 90 days written notice before the expiration of the year. The fees are locked in for a year. If it rolls into a second year, it's license fees increased by cost of living, but not to exceed 5%. So
you can only get out at the year, right?
Yeah, you can get out at the
end. So 1 year,
provided you give them 90 days notice. Otherwise, it rolls over, and then it's cost of living increase, but no more than 5%. Yeah, so on those things, just make sure you take your account.
14.
Yeah,
you get the one out.
110 days before the 1 year mark, and then
these are all replacements.
There's one other thing with Mark. Mark had asked me about under his his wages. Basically, that's for $25 a week is what that covers. What he had asked me about is he goes to the board meetings sometimes. He's at different sites. He works weekends sometimes where he's working one of the events or something. If we could put maybe an additional 25 hours over the year in there, so when he goes over, that the budget can accommodate that. What we have been doing in the past is if he works like village board some night, I just tell him, get out of here early on Friday and just cover it for the hours that he's worked for village board, so we stay close to the 25 hours. But even doing that, we end up tight at the end of the year, and then there's not enough hours left for him to, work through the year and keep the 25 hours. So it would be kind of a buffer in there that when he goes to village board, if he works special events, or if he's out with cadets at night or comes in early to work with cadets to do parking tickets or whatever, then he doesn't have to take those hours away. And
does that have any HR implications or none whatsoever?
He's already over the amount for the benefit, the part-time benefits that we have. He's already in Wisconsin retirement. So you'd have a few more hours, on that end, but...
So you want to increase account 117, is that regular wages?
Yeah, just put like an extra...
It would just be a buffer, not for me to actually, like tonight, or when I come to village board meeting, like the other day, I was there for 6 hours. Well, that counts towards my week, and if I work my regular week, that's 30 hours. Right. So that... Then I have to somehow take off or switch it around sometime, which I don't mind, But still, like last year, I ended up a week not working because I ran out of time. It's just trying to balance the hours at the end.
You thinking $500, or what do you think?
We were thinking like
25
to 50 hours at the most. That so 25 extra hours that so would probably cover it.
What's that equal compensation?
He's at.
Let's see, $2 an hour we pay you, Mark?
Well,
it's easy calculation.
I don't complain about my pay.
I don't know what you're at right now. Do you know? I'll type it.
25 something.
Okay.
I don't even look at it. I give it to my wife,
like
so I don't.
Bucks.
Call her.
My wife takes it, so I don't know what.
Maybe we can calculate that out and put that in if you don't have any issue with that.
$625. So $2,000 to $2,625.
So increase that line by $625.
Because we kind of hate to kick him out of here early some days because his hours are Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and people know that now. For him to have to take those hours off then so they balance out, it's better to have him have a leeway that way.
In fact, one of the complaints I get from residents is, you know, he's not here every day of the week, and I'm trying to, you know, explain as to why my garbage can was left out, or he's not around, and you're going to give me a, right? Well, the worst thing we can do then is not even have him be around on the
days when he's supposed to be around.
They're posted. So.
But then, too, there's some people that have figured out that Mark's not here on Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, so then that's when they do their things because they know they don't get tickets. So.
I didn't figure that out.
That's when I have my garage.
That's
when I have my garage.
Seven day a week buyer. You don't much care if he's here.
All right, is that it for this area?
Yep, that's
the
most
anybody
has
any
questions.
That would be
that
the
117.
Until software guy, thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
He understood.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
I'll just increase the Social Security tax also in that.
Okay. Yeah. How come there's nothing for postage?
Email.
Up here there is.
We started to track, and then I don't know if we've just not tracked it that far down.
Okay.
I don't know why we don't budget for postage anymore.
I don't know that there is the specific.
Nobody tracks it.
No one's sure what the new rate was going to be.
Yeah. So I think it's just.
By
the
way,
that's what I was thinking.
We got that $4 emails from people when they get
it's
tickets.
Expensive.
They get really mad.
Yeah, 46 cents.
Not only do they get the ticket or the warning, that you're spending 44 cents or whatever to send them a notice, but we have to have that official record that they got something. All right, I'm going to make a motion that we recess for 5 minutes. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Just comment and like